Often enough, children get to the place they don't want it. What do you think? Maybe you don't feel that way. You don't have to, because these are just scenarios as trying to teach you something. How do you feel about that? Don't be scared. I mean, last week you had a good discussion. Yeah. But do you think it hurts when you don't? Do you think it matters that you don't do it? You think it may matter? Well, see, that's where we're trying to get you in this particular sketch, is to recognize that some things really matter. We may not think they do. We've never been trained in many things, but we're trying to awaken the something in you that recognizes that maybe, just maybe, there have been some things that you have not done that is causing you to have the problems you're having now. You understand or not? Okay, well, let's go on to the next one, Sue Lynn, and see what it's like.
The son made good grades and brought his report card for mother to see. Mother ignored her son and kept reading the newspaper. This is an example of error one. Parents fail to reward good behavior. Behavior which is not rewarded becomes weaker. For the next scene, note what the child does and what the parent does. Then determine which child-rearing rule or error the scene shows. Use your study sheet and look for any other principles of behavior demonstrated in the scene.
Ben, stop spinning. You might spill your drink. Be careful with your drink.
Uh-oh, I need another drink.
I told you to stop spinning and to be careful. No more 7-Up this afternoon. And here, you need to help clean up the mess, too.
That again, Sue Lynn, can you, or is it too hard? We'll not do it twice if you can't, but I want them to be able to look at it.
For mother to see. Mother ignored her son and kept reading the newspaper. This is an example of error one. Parents fail to reward good behavior. Behavior which is not rewarded becomes weaker. For the next scene, note what the child does and what the parent does. Then determine which child-rearing rule or error the scene shows. Use your study sheet and look for any other principles of behavior demonstrated in the scene.
Okay.
Ben, stop spinning. You might spill your drink. Be careful with your drink.
I need another drink.
I told you to stop spinning and to be careful. No more 7-Up this afternoon. And here, you need to help clean up the mess, too.
Okay. Now what rule did she do or didn't do? What do you feel the reaction or what this mother did? Just speak out. What's that? Well, no, I don't know. That might have been to a certain extent. Maybe she didn't think it was as what at first. Maybe she should have been a little more direct with him, but she was warning him. I think she did punish him with mild punishment. Now, it was a natural consequence. Her punishment was, you don't get any more drink and you have to clean up what you've done. So she did actually give him good punishments. This is what we call natural punishments. It's punishments that's connected with what they did. So this is something that we must remember, that when they do something, if we let them go, and we'll see that a little later, it's going to cause a problem. But at least the she here did try to correct him, and when he did do something wrong, she gave him punishment that was particularly good for that particular thing. Does anyone else have anything to say about it? Okay, let's go on to the next one then, Sue Lynn.
The child was careless with the 7-Up and kept spinning on his chair even though mother asked him not to. This is the bad behavior. Mother told him no more 7-Up that afternoon and asked him to clean up the spill. This is an example of Rule 3, punish some bad behavior, but use mild punishment only. The mild punishment consists of two logical consequences, not getting another drink and cleaning up the mess. Behavior which is punished is less likely to occur in the future. Let's look at some more scenes. Note the child's behavior and what the parent does. You decide which rule, error, or methods of child management each scene demonstrates.
This one is not an unusual scene.
Give me some cookies. I want some cookies.
No, we've got cookies at home. You put those back because I don't want to buy any more cookies.
I want these cookies!
Oh, all right, but nothing else.
Where are the M&Ms? We need some M&Ms too.
Okay, Sue Lynn, you can stop here. It's too difficult to go back. So what was this? What did you see in this one? Good. She rewarded bad behavior. And you can see what how much it helped him when she said, you can't have anything else. Where is the M&Ms? You know, he's ready to stand another ground. So when we reward bad behavior, it just makes that bad behavior stronger. And that's why we cannot ignore it. But you say, I'm in a store. You don't know how many people would be watching that would say, if I had that little boy, I'd spank him very good, you know? they'd be very happy if you would discipline him. But we're not saying, what could she have done? Mm-hmm. Okay, so... Okay, but what could she have done? Before you go in, you mean? Or at that time? Because asking the way he did there, to me, would be rewarding him by giving him one of those. If you say when a child goes into the store, now, mom's saying only one thing today, you see. Then if he had done that, she said, okay, put the one thing in the cart. But now what would she do? What would you do if he did that to you? Face turn red? But that's what she said. But what happened? Mm-hmm. The cookies, right. So we can see that this young man has already got behavior pretty well in practice. He knows how to, I keep saying, I want you to remember, your child is a little lawyer. They know how to do. They're manipulators. You say, oh, my darling child, your darling child. They are darling, and I love children. But what I'm saying, they are very, very smart. They know how to pit one another, father against mother, mother against father. They know just the thing that they could do. Now, this boy, could have done it several ways and not been obnoxious. He could have gone to his mother and put his arm around her or put his arm over her arm and say, "Oh, Mommy, you know I love them. Won't you let me, please?" And many mothers would have given it to him. But this little boy was used to yelling to get his way. But you have to be very careful to recognize, well, this we could recognize immediately, but the child with the loving way can be very hard to deal with. My friend had a daughter like that. She was beautiful when she was little, and she just had the sweetest spirit, the night, but as stubborn, oh, as stubborn as she could be. And she would try, but they worked very, very hard on this. And finally, she was to the place she didn't do it anymore. She didn't use that. But if she had, do you know what can happen? That can be her life's way of getting what she wants. Whether it's from her parents, whether it's from her professors at school, whether it's from her husband, they have a very sweet, cunning way of getting what they want. And actually, it isn't helpful to them, because people soon learn that they are manipulators. So you see, some of these things can really get ingrained in us, and they become our problems. You know, I was telling our counseling group that many problems in marriage is not what we would say marriage problems. Marriage problems are finances. Marriage problems are communication. Marriage problems can be in the sexual area. But many times what our problems are is our self, our attitude, our way of doing things, how we navigate life, taking it into our marriages, and the two of you navigating together can cause a lot of trouble, and you don't even recognize it. And a lot of it starts right here. That's why, to me, discipline our children is the greatest thing we can do for them. It really is. It's more than that college education, because if they're not disciplined, they get in college, some of them won't do very well, and when they do, they're doing it in a very unethical, they'll be a heartache to you maybe down the road. But disciplining them, getting them so they know how to maneuver in life, how to be the kind of person that other people want, is our job. And it's not so easy. And you say, "I get uncomfortable about it." Listen, it's one of those things that God said, if you want lack of wisdom, call on me. If you want a book that helps you, read Proverbs. All of these things can help us in what we're doing here. Let's go on to the next one. Sue Lynn, are you awake? I mean, are you there? She'll get after me.
That looks great. Thanks for cleaning the sink. I'm so proud of you.
Okay. Now, what did the mother do here that we feel? What law did she use? A rule? Yes. She recognized the good behavior. And I want you to look at the age of, what do you think the age of this child is? Okay, between 6 and 8, maybe 7 or 8, you know? And so usually parents may be trying to teach, but they don't demand something like of this of a child that age, you know? So this is something that this little child wanted to do. She had probably seen her mother do it, and she wanted to do it. And, you know, when I see this, it makes me realize that there are some children that have something in them that they like. They want to try. They want to do it. And this is a little girl thing. She watches her mother doing it, And now she's just want to sort of be like her mother. So we see here in her mother doing that in the sense of recognizing it. And recognize it as something that was good and that mother appreciated. And it really helped mother. I think will not be so hard as she grows up, because it will become a part of her after a while. And it starts here with praising them for what they do. Some mothers would come in and begin, "What are you doing with that cleaner?" Isn't that right? "You shouldn't touch that." Well, you don't want to have things around that they shouldn't touch, but that's the first thing some parents do. When they see a child doing this, and maybe it's not very good, and some parents will say, "You're just making a mess." You say, "What do you know about children? I've watched them a long time. I've worked with them a long time, and I've worked with parents a long time." And these are some of the reactions that really, really hurts a child in the early parts, when you could really then begin to train them to do. So these are the things we want to do for our children. Let's try the next one. See anything like that? Well, Papas, I know you can ignore a lot of things. And here we see this father, what? Rewarded bad behavior, and that he didn't even bother with it. Never even looked around. Didn't care. The boys can take care of themselves. They can work this thing out themselves. But now that older boy there has a sense that he now knows how to get over. He can do it. Daddy let him do it. Now, maybe if the mother had been there, he wouldn't have done it. You see, that's why I'm saying they know you. They understand you. He knew he could take a chance with Daddy being there. Daddy sometimes feels that discipline belongs to mothers. You know, there's lots of daddies that feel like the mothers, and when they don't turn out well, they give the mothers a hard time. When many times they have been what we would almost say is an absent father. They haven't bothered to give that sense of discipline. And I want to tell you something, men. You have power. You'll ask any mother, most mothers anyhow, and they'll tell you that I can say something to my son and he won't do it, but when my husband does, he perks himself up. He'll do it. So a lot of times, men's voice and men's presence has a lot to do with the child. They respect their father many times, afraid of him. The rougher voice, maybe. But men, you must help in this sense of disciplining the children. You're working together at this. And the times when you're there alone, you don't just watch the television while they're throwing toys at each other. You don't just be on the computer and they're out there yelling and hollering and throwing books and you're still away playing at your game, you know. That's something that you have to be well aware of, that I'm a part of this, a big part of the job. I have to get in there and help with this discipline. Anyone else have anything to say here? Okay, we'll go on to the next one.
Treat.
you catch it? Well, the mother was saying, you've been a good little girl while we've been shopping. And the mother put in money, and the little girl said, I have a penny, as you wanted to sort of help out. But I want you to notice here that what is she doing, this mother? Yes, but she was rewarding the child. Now you see the difference. This child is young. This child actually is probably, what, 3? Something like that. The other little boy, he was maybe 7 or 8. But this is when she's starting now to motivate the child that when we go to the grocery store, if you are good, you don't give mommy any trouble, you know, you don't want anything, you just, and if you do it, you know, you've taught her how to do it. And so now I'm teaching her now, and motivating her that now when she goes to the grocery store, in years come, she probably won't give her mother any trouble because she knows it. But every once in a while, let me tell you, these are not foolproof children. Or like just like we are. Sometimes they get out of sorts. Sometimes they have a bad day. But mostly you'll find out that children will, as you motivate them in something like this, it's going to teach her going to store, being good equals a reward. Another time it may be a candy. Another time mom might say, because mama hungry too, she might say, let's go to McDonald's, you know, or something like that. But this really helps a child to reinforce these things that are good in them. Let's try another one.
If you fuss or argue again, then the TV goes back in timeout.
Is that the next one? Is that number 7? Sue Lynn, can you try again?
Next, you will see 4. What would you do, Carl?
This one is 7. This thing is very hard. I tried to figure out, but I should have written to someone. We could have hooked it up so I could have turned it here off and on. It would have been so much better, but 7.
Get me some milk! Get me milk! Get me milk!
Oh, all right. But you're big enough to get it yourself. Here.
Now, what did the father do there? That's right. He rewarded bad behavior. So we see that, and this looks like the same little boy, doesn't it? Does that look like the same little boy in the store? Maybe it carries over everywhere he goes. Anyway, we see here that the father rewarded the bad behavior of the child. And as you see, it's going to keep on and on. So this is where we have to recognize he could have said to him, no, not now. When you learn how to ask me for it, I will give it to you. There's one little thing in there. I guess I was brought up to say thank you. Now, thank you is not always from the heart from a person. I know that. But it does make the person know that when they have given you something, you recognize it. You're not a servant. You're not arms stuck out there doing things. And that's why I like thank you. Now, it's not a religious rule that you have to say that, but I feel like when children acknowledge, anytime, acknowledge what you have said, it is very good for them and for you also. So I think it would have been very nice if the little boy would at least said, well, thank you. But you see, he just took it, and it's almost like dad's a servant. I just take it. You know, yes. That's right. If he had to say please, maybe he would have done it in a different spirit. It's very hard sometimes to say some words hateful. Please is not a word that you can say hatefully all the time, you know? It's a word that you sort of have to calm yourself down. Okay, let's go on to the next one, Sue Lynn. Now I think this is a grandfather.
Uncle Bill, I'm going to do a flip. Watch me. Watch me again. That's hard to do.
The reason you aren't any good is because your muscles aren't built up. When I was your age, I could do 10 flips in a row.
So what is he doing? Punish the good behavior. Now, I want you to see that this was Uncle Bill, but that could have been a teacher. That could have been a teacher. That could have been grandma. That could have been the neighbor. You know, these are the things that we really don't realize the impact it has on children. I counseled a man over 30-something, probably more getting toward 35, whose whole life from that time to 35, from the time he was in junior high to 35, was messed up because of a teacher. Now, you see, you have to recognize that each one of us are different. We're made up with different tendencies and different ways we accept things, life itself. And for some people, there are things that are said that just roll off your back and you never think them again. But for some people, that particularly the melancholy, those that are very sensitive, like this boy no doubt was very sensitive, his teacher, he took up something to her, a project he had worked on. He said, I was always sort of slow about doing things, you know, getting it, learning and so forth. But this time he said, I worked very hard on this project. I took it to the teacher, and she said, you didn't do this. It's not good enough. You're not capable of this. And he said, but I did do it. No, you didn't do it. I can tell you didn't do it. Well, I was counseling him, now a man of 30, trying to get along in a job. He told me all the things that had happened. And I saw in that young man a hurt, a deep hurt. I said, do you ever think of that teacher now? He said, every time I try to go do something, I see that teacher. And I feel like I can't do it. You see, we can have more impact on other people than what we realize. Now, there's times we can't help it. Times that we ourselves don't understand. But that's why it's so good as a person who is disciplining as a parent to try to gear in to the times that you need to work on something or commend them or whatever it is. So this boy now, I wonder if he's going to want to keep trying. You think he will want to keep trying? No. I think he probably gave up. And how many times, and if that grandfather had motivated him, he didn't have to say, well, you did what? No, he could say to him, you know what? I can help you. We'll do some training for your muscles. That'll really help your arms. But right away, he was telling him he couldn't do it. And then grandfather, like all of us, all our uncles and all of us, all dads, I could do that 10 times better, you know. So this is the kind of thing that many times hurts our children. Okay, we'll go for another one.
For the next scene, look over your study sheet and decide which principle of behavior or mistake the scene shows. It does not demonstrate one of the three basic rules or four errors.
Are you ready to eat now? Don't
Don't you think it would be a good idea to do something with all your things and put them someplace? And wash your hands. Hurry up. Come and eat. Food's getting cold.
I like the blank look. What's the mother done? She's not really, not any of the rules that we've talked about, but what has she done? You know? What do you think? That's right. That's where it's at. She just quickly went over a lot of things and then expected the child to know what she wanted. And so actually this is the wrong way. Now, actually he talked about this before. He said if you want to give commands to your child, move up close to them and have a rather stern little face. You're not laughing with them. You're wanting them to do something. And so you say their name, you get eye contact. That's very important, eye contact, because they don't want to look you in the eye. If you ever try it, you'll see them going this way or that way and this way. Get eye contact with a child. Use a very firm voice and then slowly give them the commands. And the very best thing you can do is, what did I say? You see? She could have come in and said, do you think this is good? She didn't even give her time to answer, you know? And she could have looked at the little girl. The little girl would have felt, no, not good, baby. And then go on to the next one and then ask, and she understood. Then she could follow commands. Sometimes our children, particularly the younger ones, don't follow our command because they don't understand it. It's too jumbled up for them. They have to have it there in little piecemeal so they understand what to do. So I think we understand by the look on that little girl's face that she's out of it. She doesn't know what's going on there. And Mom is expecting her to do it. I guess she maybe understands eating. Maybe she'll get to the table. Okay, then we'll have another one. Just one more.
The following scenes show the three rules or four errors of child rearing. However, most of the scenes show additional principles or mistakes in managing behavior. Using your study sheet, see how many principles or mistakes you can find.
I'm ready for you to take me to the mall and meet my friends.
How about doing something with this room before we leave?
No, I want to get to the mall early.
Well, all right, let's go. But when we get back, you'll do something with all this mess, okay?
Yeah, let's get going.
So what did mother do? She rewarded bad behavior, didn't she? The mother looked rather pitiful there, didn't she? I wonder which one's boss. You ever wondered about that? Anyway, we see here that the child was actually, her mother's command meant nothing to her. And this is what happens if we don't, through the years, help our children to understand that what I say, I mean it. We do not have to yell. Maybe we yell because that's the way it was done to us. Maybe we yell because we're frustrated. But if we can learn, like a teacher, when I first started teaching, I was as raw as they could. I didn't know much about how to take care of disciplined children. And I had 40 children in a classroom where they were wall-to-wall kids. And I didn't know how to discipline them, really. But my second grade teacher, my friend next door, I was teaching second grade, she was teaching second grade, and she said something to me. I asked her, I said, how do you do it? Because her class was in time. They marched, everything. And she said, you will develop the voice. You'll have to develop the voice. And I understand what she means. There is some way that we have to let our children know, this is what I mean. It doesn't. When you yell, they feel like they have victory over you. When you get angry, they feel like they've made you angry. They feel a little, what shall I say, they may not understand their feelings, but they've won. But when we can develop the voice to let them know that we mean what we say, and that won't make children. You know, sometimes we're afraid that if we discipline children, they won't love us. That's not true. When I was 18 or 19, I went to Texas and did some home missionary work. A young lady wanted to come back to go to the school where I was going. And she was just out of high school. No, she was in high school. She was coming to high school. And when I noticed the whole time, that first year, the only person she talked about was her father. She never talked about her mother. And I knew that her father was very strict. And I'm thinking to myself, why are you talking about your father? Your mother let you do everything. And here, the one you're honoring, the one that you set up, my father wouldn't let me, it was your dad. So you see, sometimes when you think that being so nice to them matters, it doesn't always, and many times it doesn't, when it means that you don't discipline them. And sometimes they look at the one that really is much harder on them, and they look at them as someone who has taken time and really cares about them. So we have to understand that sometimes you and I have to realize that discipline will not turn a child against you, because for every time maybe you have to discipline, you have showed them many times of love. And so they know when you love them, just like anybody else. Just like we know when people like us or care about us. So children know. So, well, this is where we're come to the end now. It's time to go to lunch. But I hope you're getting something out of this. Now, I say to you, you know, this is not law. You don't have to do this. I'm just saying we're giving you an idea here and visualizing some of the problems that come into the lives of parents and children. How do we deal with them? This is what we need to know. We need to know how to recognize them and how to deal with them. We need to be able within our own self to know how to be right there when our children needs maybe discipline as much as love. One little girl was talking to Sue Lynn, and Sue Lynn was talking to her about sin. She said, well, I know when I sin, but Mama knows first. She doesn't even have to worry about her conscience. Her mother knows first. So there are those times when we, as parents, we have to just keep our eye on our children. I hope you've gotten something out of it today. Sorry about the technical part, but I don't know how to work this thing back here. Thank you, and God bless you today.